It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy too.
It's about
apologize. Thanks. That was my fault. We're going to just re-cue that and get that started again.
It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy.
Today's in is called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way.
There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer.
It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, in your day, the refreshing way,
the refreshing way,
the refreshing way,
the refreshing way.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Worship on the Worship and Wellness Broadcast. This is Thursday, the 12th of January. So we're grateful to be with you. God is doing wonderful things, and we need to praise Him all the time for His wonderful works to the children of men. It's time for our opening prayer. My wife undreamed of, Sister Maria, will have our opening prayer at this time.
Good morning, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together, to be able to open up your word and to be able to learn from it. We pray for your Holy Spirit to come and teach us this morning. Give us fresh manna from heaven as you anoint the words of our pastor. Fill him with your spirit and help us, Lord, to grow in grace and wisdom as we draw nigh to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Our opening song, it's about time for the coming of Christ.
It's about time for the coming of Christ, your King. It's about time, O Christian. It's about time. It's about
Amen. It's about time. Our topic today is the cure for sin. The cure for sin. When we have worship, it's going to be the cure for depression. The cure for depression. But right now, we're talking about the cure for sin, and we're going to read not every verse, but we're going to introduce you to Exodus 27. We're kind of going through the book of Exodus, but not reading everything, but pulling out the principles. For example, yesterday we talked about Exodus 26, which was the description of the veils. We learned that the veil was the flesh of Christ, meaning his humanity, and we would not be able to have access without his humanity to anything. There would have been a curtain that brought that you entered even to get into the courtyard. You see, it's through Christ that we are justified. And then to get into, there was definitely a veil mentioned in Exodus 26 that you entered into to get into the holy place. And then the second veil was into the most holy place. It's all about Christ, my friends. If Christ had not come down to die, where would we be? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this morning. We ask that you would bless us on this Thursday, January 12th, and we pray that you be with us as we worship you now in Jesus' name. Amen. My brothers and sisters, Exodus 27 is so beautiful. I want to focus on a couple of things. It says, "And thou shalt make an altar of shittim wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. His horn shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with brass." Now, I want to just mainly focus on that. Remember, we were talking about the tabernacle, the table of showbread, made out of shittim wood, but overlaid with gold, okay? Even the Ark of the Covenant in the most holy place, made out of shittim wood, overlaid with gold. But now we're in the outer court, you see, before you even got there, and you notice that it was made out of shittim wood, but overlaid with brass. You see, my friends, a lot of the weapons of war, defensive weapons, were made out of brass. A lot of the shields, maybe even some parts of the swords or whatever were made out of brass. And brass is used more so in weaponry to stop the enemy from advancing. And so we must understand that the shittim wood didn't change, but the overlay material did change. And in the outer court, it was brass that was what people saw. But inside, in the holy place and in the most holy place, they saw gold. These are representations that it's still Christ, because in his humanity, he came. But in the humanity of Christ, he fights for you, okay? He's getting us out of jams. He's covering up our mess ups. You see, that's what justification is. We're going to read about it in Romans 5. We've all messed up, and God created a plan to save us. In order to be saved, because we have a record, you know, some people who've been in jail and in prison, they know what a record does, and people won't let you live down that record. Unfortunately, because man's system does not really reform like it should, there's a high rate of recidivism. I believe that's the right word, where they just, you know, get out and then commit another crime and go back in. And so God wants, and you know, we have recidivism Christianity. We just believe that once saved, always saved, so we can just sin and get back up and sin and get back up and sin and get back up. Now, we have all sinned, and we've all sinned at least once, at least twice, okay? And many of us many, many times. Some people sin many times a day. So the point being made, brothers and sisters, is that God wants us to not have recidivism Christianity. That's what sanctification is all about. And many of us are still living in the outer court. We just say, oh, if I do it again, God will forgive me. And we get even so bold and brazen to plan the sin and already plan to ask forgiveness for it after you sin. Yeah, I'm going to do it, and I'm just going to ask God to forgive me, but I'm doing it. You see, that's weakness, friends. That's not strength. And you think that just because you did it, a lot of times that meant some kind of retaliation or some kind of verbal or even physical, fight. that you get into where you embarrass somebody or take somebody out or whatever the case might be, and then you already pre-plan that you're going to ask for forgiveness. My brothers and sisters, God doesn't even forgive you. If after you did it, because you plan to do it and you go ask forgiveness, that's not even real. That's formalism. God doesn't hear formal prayers. He hears real prayers. You have to come with a contrite heart, with genuine sorrow for sin. You can't be sorrowful when you planned it and you already planned your excuse and your pardon. That's why the indulgences from the Roman Catholic Church were horrible, because you would buy the indulgence sometimes before you committed the crime. Okay, it was an indulgence. I get to indulge, but the Pope, through the priest, has already given me pardon for a future indulgence of sin, you see? And so, you know, that, what can we say, my brothers and sisters? That's what we do in Christianity today. When we teach that once you're saved, you're always saved, we're basically given free indulgence for sin. That's not what the gospel teaches. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God is teaching us that we need to overcome sin. That means we are not just sinning, asking for forgiveness, sinning, asking for forgiveness, sinning, asking for forgiveness. Friends, God wants us to definitely know that he's with us and he is very, very merciful. So, yes, we've sinned many times and he has forgiven us many times. But at some point, if we don't get it right before Jesus comes, we're not going to be saved. He is just merciful when he just keeps forgiving us. But this brass was overlaid showing that it covered humanity with the power to fight the devil, friends. Justification is pardon. It is pardon and a new heart. That's what it is. And you can understand that they would see this. They would need to see this. They would need to know that God would pardon their sin. When you see a holy God and you realize how unholy you are, you need to know he's welcoming you, that he's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. So justification is the cure for sin. It is the pardon and a new heart. And if you've not received that pardon and that new heart, all you have to do is be serious about it and ask God for it. He wants to change your life and change it forever and give you a new trajectory and not have you go back to the old, back to the old, back to the old. God wants you to have a new walk, a new life, and that's what justification is. So in Exodus 27, it might seem boring to you as you read about the description of the brazen altar. That's where the lamb was slain. That's Jesus and his cross, dying on the cross, represented there, my friend. And so when you read that, now you know it was shittim wood overlaid with brass. It represented Christ, but he's there to give us victory. He's fighting against the devil. He is canceling out the devil's condemnation through that method. All right, overlaid with brass. Also, it represents us. Our humanity is overlaid with the armor of God, okay? And often parts of the armor were made of brass. So we have the armor of God. We've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the helmet of salvation. Often helmets were made of brass, you see, or had brass elements to them. So we are in war. We are at war. We need to understand that the devil is slick and he will come to us with different weaponry to try to get us to go down, my friends. And so the brazen altar was made of shittim wood. It was a combination of human effort with divine power, but it was to win a battle against the devil. Okay, so justification is the cure for sin, but justification is your ticket to sanctification. So when you are justified, you begin immediately sanctification. And we learned that sanctification took place in the holy place, and that was the table of showbread, still of shittim wood, representing Christ's humanity, but our humanity too. But but it was overlaid with gold. That means we get really have we have victory. Okay, it's not just that we're having to keep fighting and fighting, but we actually have overcome. We have the power to overcome sin, and that's what is so beautiful. And continually, you still win in justification. You said no to temptation, and the Lord gave you victory through that method, my brothers and sisters. And then you step into the holy place. And then that instead of shittim wood covered with brass, it is now shittim wood covered with gold. It represents Christ, but it also represents us and the covering that Christ gives us. So he gives us more military covering in the outer court, and then he gives us covering that is perfection of character in the holy place, where the table of showbread represented prayer, where the altar of incense represented the table of showbread represented God's word, and the altar of incense represented prayer, and the golden candelabra, the golden candlesticks, represent service, doing, helping others. Okay, that's how we keep the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then in the most holy place, there was a time of judgment. Our lives will be brought in review before God, and he will be simply determining if we accepted grace, not grace that was in the outer court only, which was forgiveness, okay, but grace in the holy place, which was power to overcome through Bible study, prayer, and service to others, witnessing to others. I want to take the remainder of this worship time, and I want to go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 is a chapter that is beautiful, and it talks about justification. It says, therefore, being justified by faith. Remember, justification is forgiveness and a new heart. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. Because God says, I forgive you, and I want to give you a new heart. We can have peace no matter what we've done, but we have to confess and be truly sorry for sin, okay? By whom also we have access. So justification gives us access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, patience experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. So when we had no strength, when we were all messed up and we were lonely and we were destitute, Christ died for humanity to pull us out of those situations. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, there is no greater love expressed than we who are in sin, just steeped in sin. And God would say, my son, my daughter, I love you. I want to help you. I want to get you out of this mess. He's there for you because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God, the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20, you should memorize that. Moreover, the law entered, it said, that the offense might abound. So friends, people who say we don't have to keep God's law, that it was done away with at the cross, then there's no sin. Because the Bible says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. So if there's no law that is binding, then there's no more sin in this world. Every lie that you hear on Capitol Hill, in the White House, every problem you see, all the crimes you see, those are not really sins if the law was done away with at the cross, my friends. It's not done away with. It's still binding. The law was given that the offense might abound, that people might see sin, that it points out sin, okay? But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto life eternal, eternal life by Jesus Christ, our Lord. So my brothers and sisters, God is good, and he has given us justification as the cure for sin. As we are sinning, we can't be just going right into sanctification. We've got to be justified first. But justification is the beginning of sanctification. We've got to be forgiven and a new heart given. And that is not contingent upon what we have done. It's contingent upon whether we surrender to the Holy Spirit, who is telling us that what we did was wrong, and inviting us to have a new life in Christ. Won't you accept it today, my friend? Let's pray. Father, as we end worship and transition to wellness, we ask for your Holy Spirit to come. We pray that we will accept this gift called justification. And we ask that your name will be glorified in our lives as we are new creatures in Christ, understanding that by one man sin entered the world, but by another grace, that the law entered that sin might abound, but that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So thank you, Lord, for being able to save us no matter what we've done, no matter how long we've done it, no matter how many times we've done it, it doesn't matter. Grace is stronger, but we must surrender, and it is time is short. And as Jesus is about to end his intercessory work in the most holy place, we need to finally get it right, to just humble ourselves and fully surrender. We cannot continue to grow if we are feeding on the things of this world. We've got to put our time into your word and in studying your word, and less time in the secular things of this world. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that victory in Jesus' name. For the things of the world, even Hollywood, Lord, we understand that the actual wood from the holly is what is used to make a magic wand. And so they enthrall us and entrap us and mesmerize us with the things that they make in the movies. And so, Lord, help us understand that heaven is for real, that we can drink of that instead and have a strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God is good, my friends. Thank you for joining us today. We are still with you. We're going to be talking about the cure for depression after our intermission with the Torso Song.
There's a one-of-a-kind place where healing is the feeling, north of the Mason-Dixon line. you might enter with diabetes and have it reversed by fasting and feasting on good food from the earth. In the state of Pennsylvania, there is help for your heart. Reverse hypertension with a brand new start. Need an answer to cancer? It may shock you to know God's healing plants are His natural chemo. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Your abnormalities may be autoimmune. Butter, meat, eggs and cheese line your greasy spoon. Get new freedom if you're bound to diseases the whole nine. Learn to eat from the ground north of the Mason-Dixon line. Do you feel enslaved? Are you stressed and depressed? Your life can be saved. You can feel refreshed. Now you need to be pampered and you need to find rest. So stop being hampered. This is life at its best. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, battle of the bulge will be your tattletale. When you look at the floor and you can't see your feet, just knock on our door. We will show you how to eat. Are you frying your brain with caffeine? You can break every chain. Your addiction can stop. Smoking and drinking will give you a stroke. We will light up your life so you don't have to smoke. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might be feeling fine. It's a home for the brave in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. No disease at this time, but there's strife in your life. Ill treatment is a crime between husband and wife. If you need some advice, we will show you how you can get married twice by renewing your vow.
If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, for I am the Lord that healeth thee.
This song that you hear is better than new birth, because year after year, more ashes to ashes, more earth to earth. Solomon said, why die before your time? If you think with your head, you're still in your prime. Escape to Torso, north of the Mason-Dixon line. If your health is so-so, you might leave feeling fine. It's a home for the brave, in the land of the free. And if you want to know, you must come and see. Yes, you must come and see. And if you want to know, you must come and see.
All right, my friends, we're talking about the cure for depression at this time, the cure for depression. I'm going to have a word of prayer because the cure for depression is found in the Bible. We like to always pray before we open God's word so that we have a clear understanding. Father, bless us as we understand the cure for depression. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friends, you have fields such as psychology, psychiatry, and various other fields within the field of behavioral sciences or within the realm of behavioral scientists. And so people would say that what I'm about to say is too simplistic and is, you know, elementary. But I'm here to tell you it really is the truth. When you really break it down, everything fits, can stand on this foundation. Jesus said this in Matthew 22:29. I'm going to read Matthew 22:29 to you. Let me just go to it real quickly. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, because if you are depressed, this is the solution. It just has, it covers a lot of ground, but it is the solution. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. So why are we often depressed? Most people are depressed because they got themselves into a jam. Often. Not every time. Sometimes somebody else got them into a jam, but they're in a jam. And so the jams that we get ourselves into are often due to the fact that we did not know what God had said. Now, why didn't we know? Because we weren't studying. We didn't avail ourselves often of what he said. God has instruction for everything. A lot of people are depressed because they're sick. And sickness brings a lot of depression, friends, because you can't do what you used to do. You're in pain. You know, you don't look like you used to look. You got something growing in you that you didn't ask for. And so, but what if we knew the scriptures? And if we knew the scriptures and we knew what type of diet we should be eating, okay? And we were following that diet. Do you realize a large part of all that depression would go away? A lot of people are depressed because they got involved in addictions. Well, what does the Bible say about, you know, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You can't do crack to the glory of God. You can't do marijuana to the glory of God. I'm just talking about your social smoking of marijuana. You can't, or eating it nowadays or whatever it is. You can't do that to the glory of God, my friends. Now, if you are on a narcotic, which is worse than CBD, and CBD can temporarily help you get through something to get off of cocaine, hey, good, better, best, don't let it rest until the good gets better, the better, best. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just simply saying that if you had to choose between which is more harmful to your body, they don't use CBD to take you out when you have pain. But you keep taking the morphine and it just kind of shuts your body down. So my point is, I'm just talking about the use of it socially, the way we're doing it. And I'm not even encouraging any other way necessarily. I'm just simply saying it would be better than a narcotic. But we try to find other ways to deal with pain. And there are other ways that help deal with pain, brothers and sisters. And we should always use those first. Nonetheless, my point being made is people have gotten themselves into addicted things. Sometimes you can be addicted to a person, that person is not good for you. That person is not helping you into the kingdom of heaven. That person is not of your faith. That person, is exhibiting things and habits or actions that are not healthy. Sometimes they're abusive and so on and so forth. And so, but if we knew the scriptures, God would tell us who to hang out with. God would tell us through the scriptures what a real man is and what a woman is supposed to be to us. And see, so because we didn't know the scriptures, we got ourselves into situations, and because of those situations, we're in a bad situation and we're depressed. So really the foundation is not knowing the scriptures. Now, there's another thing it said, nor the power of God. Sometimes we get ourselves into mess ups and we know what God has said, but we don't really understand how powerful he is to give us the victory and get out of it. So we think we're stuck because we just don't understand the power of God. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to understand or think. He wants to give you the delusion that you're in a big, bad mess and that nothing can get you out. So the best thing to do is just bear it. And so we stay depressed because we don't understand there is a way out. It's just that, yes, that way out requires sacrifice, but you serve a powerful God who made the ultimate sacrifice in coming down. The ultimate sacrifice is not for a soldier to get his life. The ultimate sacrifice was for Jesus to leave all of heaven to come down and die for us. The Bible says, we just read it earlier, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died. See, soldiers don't go and die for their enemy. They die at the hand of their enemy. Jesus died, and he died at the hand of us, but with our sins killed him, but he died for us. So the ultimate sacrifice is what Jesus did, okay? It's not what the soldiers and the Marines and the Army and the Air Force and Navy and Special Forces from all those branches do. They're brave men and women. But my point is the ultimate sacrifice is what Christ did. He died for his enemies. Not at the hand of his enemies. Well, he did at the end of his. He died at the hand of his enemies voluntarily. Voluntarily. But he died for his enemies. Okay? And his enemies were you and me. Okay? And yet, he loved us enough to do that. There is no greater sacrifice. There is no greater love than that. And so, my friends, if he had the power to do that, he has the power to get you out of any mess. He has the power to get you out of any relationship. He has the power to get you out of any drug. I don't care what it is. If it's faster than speed or slower than heroin, God can get you out. So we get depressed because of wrong things. Now, sometimes, here's the thing. Some people are trafficked, so it wasn't your fault. Some people were abused as little children and taken and hurt and enslaved and so on and so forth. And yet even they can learn about Jesus and can be freed. Okay. So it's not always that what we did, it could be some crime committed against us, but God can still, that led to our depression, but God can still give you the victory, my friends. He's able. So we just need to show them the scriptures and how Jesus is there to help them, and then they will learn about the power of God and have the courage to get out of that situation by the grace of God. And so, friends, that's really the foundation of depression. Now, there's a lot to it. Yes, people need to be talked to, listened to, and encouraged. There's physical things. We work with people with St. John's Wort and Kava Kava, which is in our happiness formula on our website. You should check it out, my friends. Just go to torsoe.org, T-O-R-S-O-E. When you are in a bad situation, there are changes in brain chemistry. Serotonin, you don't have enough of it. So when you take these herbs, it does help boost your mood because it helps you with serotonin. Try to get away from sugar and sugary foods. That will tend to lower your serotonin levels. And so we just want to give you some practical things as well. But the foundation, it's God's word, friend. It's in God's word. Men do err, not knowing the scriptures, know the power of God. If a person who is depressed knows what the Bible says and truly understands the power of God, they will be able to overcome that depression. The devil doesn't want that to happen, and he wants to put lies in their mind to say that there's no hope. Of course, ends up often in suicide, and that's really, really sad. So God is good. He is merciful. And we're going now to roll call. So I know that what I believe I can see is, I don't know if the individual is still there, but we have a special person from Virginia on Facebook. And then on the call, we have Georgia. We have South Carolina. We have Oklahoma. We have Ohio. We have Missouri. We have Delaware. We have Alabama. And we have Ohio again. And we are your servants here in Pennsylvania. God is good. So, friends, want to mention to you that the – hold on, let me see it. Let me show you. Those on Facebook anyway. Let me just see here. Okay, watch this. This is the draft copy of the Biblical Booster, Boosting the Immunity of Our Global Community. This is simply a book to help you boost your immunity through lifestyle change, okay? And it tells you why this is the best plan to help your body to strengthen your immunity. Okay. Anyway, the draft copy is in play. It's in the hands of some prominent people. We have a chapter called So Great a Cloud of Witnesses, and we're not going to give them forever, but we want to give them a little time. And as their endorsements roll in, you might say, we'll add them to the book. But there'll be a place on our website where any endorsements, so once the book goes out, which we hope to be in February, it might have some blank space, but you will always be able to click on that QR code to catch the latest of the endorsements, okay? God is good, and remember, you can visit us online at torsoe.org. Check out our store. Learn about our wellness coaching, where we help you remotely to get well from your conditions. If you have inflammation, if you have pain, if you have any type of condition that relates to inflammation, we also want to introduce you to a hydrogen generator. It's a machine that you can allows you to breathe hydrogen gas, and you can also take your water bottle and add extra hydrogen to it, and it does wonders to help with pain, inflammation, and that is a condition that inflammation is involved in so many things. People don't realize that this condition, Pestilence 19, it's a condition of inflammation. And so there's many, many good uses of that. So that being said, we're going to open the phone lines if there is anyone. And we do have our dear sister Lenny on the line. We've got about 15 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone else, press star 6. And we'll talk to Sister Lenny at this time. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you so much for that talk. It brought me to what I went through, depression, many years ago. Now, the depression for me started as a child, even though I didn't, you know what it was. I didn't know I was feeling like that. I thought all children felt that way. But it brought it into my adulthood, and I did have feelings of suicide, and, you know, I tried to do that at one time, but I was going to a doctor who constantly put me on all this medication. Any depression medicine out there, I took it. He gave me everything, and all I could feel was getting worse and worse and worse. I was constantly calling the doctor's office. They knew me by voice. They knew me by name. And they, after a bit, they seemed annoyed with me. So I guess they passed that on to the doctor. So when it was time for my visit, he called people in real nicely. But when it came to me, he was very abrupt and, you know, had me come into the office, and he started screaming at me, telling me how I can't call the office like that. I got to stop calling the office. And he screamed from the top of his lungs, "You're not going to get better until you get off the medicine." And that was an eye-opener for me. My husband, who wasn't my husband at the time, who was a nurse, I was sharing that with him. And he said, "Listen, you got to get off this medicine." So he started weaning me off the medicine a little by little. I was going through withdrawal like a person on cocaine, and it was just horrible. And that hit me, and it opened my eyes to a whole different environment, you know. And I was like, I got to get off the medicine. I'm not going to get well until I get off. Now, he ordered me the medicine. He's the one who ordered me that medication. And so I said, okay, I got to get off the medicine. Let me tell you something. I was introduced to St. John's Wort. And let me tell you something. I don't care what they say about St. John's Wort. I heard a lot of bad things. Oh, you shouldn't take that. You shouldn't do this. But let me tell you, it's not true. St. John's Wort works because I used it. You know, I've passed it on to other people who I know is depressed. So you can't always get into a whole bunch of medication because it's just going to make you worse. I'm a living witness of it. I thank God that he opened my eyes, and even though it was very hostile and abrupt and anger with it, he still opened my eyes to see, and I haven't been depressed. I can't even tell you. I'm not going to get depressed. I have not been depressed in years because of St. John's Wort, and that's the only thing I took. So I thank God for your message this morning, because it just brought everything back, and I was like, oh, my goodness. So I thank God, and I hope that this helps someone. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, God bless you. God bless you. Absolutely. You know, St. John's Wort is powerful. And if you go to, that's why we call the formula happiness. The main ingredient in the formula is St. John's Wort. It has a little kava in it, but you can get it or find, if you have your own St. John's Wort, that's fine too. But my brothers and sisters, St. John's Wort is powerful. They do understand in modern medicine that it is some brain chemicals that, they call them neurotransmitters, that are off when you're depressed. And there's some science behind it. They have serotonin reuptake inhibitors and all this kind of stuff. But the bottom line is that you need enough serotonin to stay in your brain. And so the reuptake inhibitors, which is what a lot of these drugs are, they inhibit the reuptake, so more of it stays in your brain. But those are toxic chemicals, friends, and so it doesn't really work in the long haul, and it ends up making you worse. And so, we are here to simply say God's plan is better. We're not here to be your doctor, but we are saying that God has told us that the cure for these diseases is in him, and he told us to use herbs. That's all we're saying to you. So you can overcome this. Thank you so much, Sister Lenny. Anything else you want to share?
No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Praise God. Praise God. All right, my friend. Is there anyone else that has any comment? Maybe somebody else is depressed, needs help. Maybe somebody else. There's so many things. People will tell you who are depressed that when they just got out and exercised, so they just lived for that exercise. Well, the exercise increases your endorphins. Those are called happy hormones. And so just getting out and exercising. So God has a total lifestyle plan. And when you do that, it increases the serotonin level. So there is a physical, chemical explanation as to what happens. So when you serve God, you have more serotonin in your brain. When you serve the devil, all the sugar and animal products and stimulating things. Those things tend to take away your serotonin, my friend. So there's studies that validate all of this. You know, I'm just amazed. When you read the biblical booster, the studies that I pull are studies straight from the NIH. That's the National Institutes of Health. That's where the top disease, I'm not going to mention names, but the top doctors of that deal with infectious disease, that's who they work for, okay? They are the repository, the file cabinet, so to speak, of all these scientific studies. The science is right there, friends, that people just don't read it, and the average American doesn't read the science. But even from, just like she said, the doctor prescribed it, but he said, you're not going to get better until you get off this medicine. Well, the science is right there in their own library that promote God's health plan. And that's where a lot of the studies I have in my book that I cite, because it is right there. It's just that people choose to ignore it, often because there is another plan that people want to follow. All right, God is good. Is there anyone else? Let me just see somebody did send a, might not have been a relationship to this. Okay, we do have a, okay, so the question is, do you have a formula for psychosis or hearing voices? All right, so the bottom line is every mental challenge that people have, you have to address it physically, mentally, and spiritually. A person can be even oppressed by the devil. They could have done some things, got into a little occult stuff, and as a result of that, the devil is oppressing. So that's a spiritual thing. We need to call on the Lord and pray and seek him. but from the perspective of the formula, if the brain is not working right, there's two formulas. We have a brain health herbal extract, and we use the happiness formula, okay? But I will tell you, I have worked with psychotic people, and I have put them, they knew enough to know that they needed help. And, I mean, they were crazy as a Beelzebub. I mean, I could tell you some interesting stories. I'm not going to do that right now, but I am telling you, I have seen people clothing in their right mind after going on a cleanse. They knew enough that they knew they needed to cleanse the body, and they were willing. They were kind of crazy, you know, but they started cleansing, flushing out those toxins out of their body, and they began to be in their right mind. And I know them today, they're in their right mind, but they were completely psychotic, completely schizophrenic, heard voices, answered the voices, thought they were somebody they weren't, thought they were doing something they weren't doing, and you know, just totally out of reality, and they're living normal lives today. So by all means, I would say the herbs would be in the brain health herbal extract. You have ginkgo, go to cola, bringing good fresh oxygen to the brain, balancing those brain chemicals with the serotonin herbs, St. John's wort, kava, those would be the herbs. But we have to address things mentally, physically, and spiritually. So get them off sugar. Sugar will make you crazy, too much of it. It takes you out of reality. So some people just, you know, go, you know, they're just too far out in their out of reality situation. So that is my simple answer. Even those who were possessed by devils, they still had a will, and they knew Jesus was there to help them, and they reached out to him. And even in their madness, Jesus was able to cure them and heal them. So a person can be mentally ill and get well if they will surrender to the Lord and follow his leading. All right, my friends, thank you for joining us today. It is about 3 minutes to the top of the hour, and I'll turn it over to my wife. If she has any closing comments and closing prayer.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time to come together. And now we ask that your spirit will continue to be with us throughout this day as we ultimately do service unto you. We pray that you will heal each of us spiritually, mentally, and physically, all in accordance with your perfect will. And help us to be prepared for your second coming, Lord. We know that we need to increase our faith. We need to draw closer to you. We need to depend more and more upon you and less upon this world and its resources. Help us to be able to be strong. Give us that everlasting strength that you have, Lord. Pass it on to your children, for we need it. We ask that you will bless everyone on this line in a special way. Continue to allow for those special and private petitions to be honored as you would have it to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution in the world to come. Eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now, undreamed of. God bless you.
Our closing song, I Will Trust in the Lord.
I will trust.